fleeting time, just as it was in the story that leads up to Easter. Everyone who celebrated Jesus' entry, triumphal entry into Jerusalem, quickly disappeared. And so today we hear the great story of the Passion of Jesus. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's hear our readings.
Good morning. Our first reading is from Jeremiah 31. The image of the servant of God is one of the notable motives in the book of Isaiah. Today's reading describes the mission of the servant whom early Christians associated with Jesus. Like Jesus, the servant does not strike back at his detractors, but trust in God's steadfast love. A reading from Jeremiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear, to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm today is read responsively. Psalm 31. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed of sorrow, and also my throat and belly. For my eyes are wasted. I am the scorn of my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors, a dismay to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. I am out of mind. I am useless as a broken pot. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. In the face of sin, steadfast love. The second reading is from Philippians 2. Christ did not act to attain status and glory, but was obedient to God even to the point of death. Following Christ's example, we do not seek personal status or glory, but care for others as God cared for us in Christ's death. A reading from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born a human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand if you are able.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love.
And you may be seated because of the length of the gospel. Those who are reading minor parts would please stand when you say your part. This is the Passion according to Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
"Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where may I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us."
So the disciples set out and went into the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said,
"Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
But they began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them,
"It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it was written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better that that one had to have not been born."
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said,
"Take, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and his sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all become deserters, I will not."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But he said vehemently,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny."
And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said,
"Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want."
He came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake for 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us go. Be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, so when he came, he went up to him at once and said,
"Rabbi."
He kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy that temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. The high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, but he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him,
"Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?"
Jesus said,
"I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, all of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy!" The guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, but he denied it, saying,
I do not know or understand what you're.
And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders,
this man is one of them.
But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to curse, and he swore an oath.
I do not know this man you were talking.
At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him,
are you the king of the Jews?
He answered him,
you say so.
Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, but Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, they used to release a prisoner for them, anyone whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them,
do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again,
then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?
They shouted back, crucify him! Pilate asked them,
why, what evil has he done?
They shouted all the more, crucify him! So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him. Hail, King of the Jews! They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two bandits, one at his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests along with the scribes were also mocking him among themselves and saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,"
which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly this man was God's son."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When the evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, he wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We used to celebrate Palm Sunday only on Palm Sunday. But when the last time the World Consultation on Texts decided to add Passion, it was because people weren't coming on Good Friday to hear the Passion. So people never heard the Passion. How can you celebrate the joy of Easter if you don't hear about the depravity of Good Friday? And so they moved the Passion reading to Sunday, since we have this hybrid. But as I said before, it makes a little bit of sense, because the celebration of the entry into Jerusalem was a fleeting moment. It really didn't have much impact on what happened afterwards. So perhaps it is good. Today we heard Mark's version of the Passion. And Mark's Passion, each of the Gospels has a little bit of different emphasis. And Mark's Passion has an emphasis on the depravity of everyone except Jesus. Everybody deserts Jesus. Everybody denies Jesus. Even his closest disciples. His closest disciples, the cream of the crop, Peter and James and John, fall asleep not only once but three times while Jesus is in agony. He comes and finds them sleeping. In the Gospel of Mark, there's no excuse for this. In the Gospel of Luke, it says they were sleeping because they were so upset, they were exhausted. Mark does not have that. In Mark, it has this special story of the man who runs off naked. And people have speculated perhaps this is the author of the gospel. So to be a Hebrew man, to be naked, was the ultimate shame. But he ran off. Rather than be arrested, he would rather be exposed, as it were, rather than be arrested with Jesus. There's layer upon layer of shame. Philip Yancey once said, there's no way that this could be fiction because it's too unbelievable. It's too depraved. A teacher who would be teaching fiction would say, rewrite this. This is too depraved. No one would believe this, that his disciples would desert him, deny him, betray him, that everyone would turn against him. Unbelievable. Go rewrite it, a good fiction teacher would say. Mark's gospel is good for us because it is a gospel that has to have grace. Because none of the disciples, none of the people were able to stay there with Jesus. None of them were able. All deserted him. And so there has to be grace. Would we have done better? Would we have done better? Would we have run away? I probably would have. I wouldn't want to be arrested and crucified. But Jesus was crucified for us. And the good news, of course, is that he rose from the dead. And there is forgiveness. And there is the promise of eternal life. That is the joy of Easter. We need to hear this sad story of the suffering of Jesus in order to understand his love for us, his faithfulness when all were not faithful. And of course, this includes the institution of the Lord's Supper. This is my body. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And that is what we do. So come and be part of this feast. Amen.